It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Man, I'm just, you know, I get a nice weekend, I get to travel, meet with some friends, and kind of get rebooted, and I come in and I read the headlines all when I left and what's been going on the last few days, and this morning I'm just like, dang. You know, I mean, dang. So I'm looking for a solution. Well, you know, one of the things that we can do is at least understand it, and what we have is a documentary called Fatally Flawed. Now, if you want to go see all the goodies there, you go to www.fatallyflawedthemovie.com. Fatallyflawedthemovie.com, and I mean, it will scare you. And it'll inform you about how electrified, because it got dissected. It got dissected by people that knew. I had Jim March has been on my show, well, starting back in 2003 when he was working with Second Amendment issues with the Second Amendment Foundation. Then started getting hooked up with Black Box Voting, Bev Harris. And it was like, if you don't have the vote accurate, you know, all this other stuff and initiatives and people you vote for and endorsements, all that, it doesn't matter, right? You dang Skippy, it doesn't matter. So you start getting involved. You start finding out. He's a computer geek extraordinaire. He goes, I know how they work. You know, let me see some of the goodies. Let me see the code. Let me start asking. I know what that ask for. And he started. And he started finding out stuff. He started traveling the country. He goes, you know what? I'll spend a lot of time in Arizona, IA, because it's really easy to see it there. And they're so prominent in their fraud. Well, they had an action in Tucson, and it's developed to the point that today they filed some more goodies. Welcome, Jim. Give me a little bit of your history and how you got involved in this, and let's just get through that real quick, because I want to get up to what you guys did today.
I mean, I'll be real quick. Look, I'm an old computer geek from way back. I'm 45 years old. I bought my first computer at 16. I did my 17 or 18 years, I've lost count, in IS. Tech support and system administration, all that geeky, happy stuff. Got tired of that. Got into political activism related to guns starting around 1999, but getting very serious by 2003. But about at the same time, I actually went professional for a couple of years in California as a gun rights activist, actually for Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, which is the sister org to Second Amendment Foundation. Same people involved. Finances are separate. Well, I was doing that, but at the same time, I got a hold of some of Bev Harris's early work on how bad the Diebold electronic voting systems were in particular, read some of her early reports and said, oh, that's ugly. And first thing I did was I tried to use the same public records digging techniques that I'd been using in gun rights. I tried to use that in electronic voting. And I found that if you ask, for example, Alameda County, California, for anything related to electronic voting, you get stonewalled worse than I was getting over in the gun world. And I didn't think that was possible. So I said, okay, something's rotten here. And I just kept digging and got deeper involved with Bev Harris's work. I consider myself, and Bev will probably tell you the same thing, I'm one of her early top lieutenants, if you will. And I'm still supporting Bev Harris's work. I'm still a member of the board of directors at Black Box Voting. But I'm down here in Arizona in large part to help with the efforts of John Brakey and Bill Reisner and the entire election integrity crew that had already risen up down in Pima County. Because they still have an election director who has now learned to be less blatant in his freak show stuff, but he's still doing very ugly things down there. We've got him under some kind of control we've made some progress in tightening up security in Pima, but then when we looked at Maricopa, we found it was actually worse than Pima. So with the action we just filed today was actually ordering a judge, or excuse me, asking a judge to order Maricopa County to correct 8 obvious illegalities in how they process your vote here in Phoenix and Maricopa County. They're doing 8 things that are statutorily banned that we can tell so far, and we're suing over those in particular.
You know, we went to court with this the last time. For the audience, I ran for Secretary of State in 2006. When I did, it was because I knew what was coming. In 2004, there was an enormous amount of election fraud that was discovered, and it was obvious. And one of the senators wanted the Senate subpoena of the ballots. We'll just count them here. Every time you run through the machine, it keeps changing. Give me the paper, we'll just count it.
Mm-hmm.
FBI comes in, takes them, never heard from them again. And I knew it was coming because in 94 I ran for Secretary of State is because I knew they passed legislation making it illegal for you to ever compare the paper with what the computer said. And they go, well, do you really think there's election fraud, Mr. Hancock? Yeah. They made it impossible for you to find it. How much proof do you need? So I knew it was coming. This is not a big giant secret to me. So when this happened, I ran 06, I'm going, yep, here we go. Well, of course, all the hoopla that we caused in that and what was going on down in Tucson and so on, all of a sudden they decided, we're going to pass us a manual validation legislation, which they never really fully implemented. We went and as the Libertarian Party and we sued. And we had Jim March and breaking all the expert witnesses get up and demonstrate how they did it. What was the opportunities for them? Everything they did in violation of the law.
Yeah.
Emergency inaction of the law, and they violated it anyway. So what makes you think they're not going to just continue to violate?
Because we made a mistake last time. We filed too late, just after the election.
Yeah, after we had the evidence of them doing it?
Right, exactly. So now that we have the evidence from 2008, we're going in before the election and saying, hey, Your Honor, this needs to stop. So the only thing the judge said last time was that, hey, you're too late, not that you're wrong. So now we're going in when we're not too late, and we'll see what he says this time. But we've got more evidence.
I'm finding it interesting that they expect you to be clairvoyant.
Oh,
it's like you go in last time and go, hey, look at all the evidence of what they did. Well, but that's kind of late. They already had that's how we know they did it. So now you're going, we're going to come in before they do it. Here's how they did it last time. This is what they're doing again. Don't do this again. Well, you filed too early.
Well, No. We're in good shape. Let me tell you.
All right. A
couple things have changed since last time. One, we're going in earlier. Two, we've actually had input into the creation of a state standard procedures manual. When I say I'm not really talking so much about myself as actually the rest of the Pima County crew. Some of them involve people like computer scientist Tom Ryan was involved heavily in the creation of the procedures manual, as was a guy named Mickey Denahoe. Now, Mickey's an interesting guy. He's one of the former top 50 programmers for the NSA. You can ask him what he did for the NSA, but he can't tell you unless he kills you. So, my point is those two people were really listened to as the procedures manual came together. I had minor input into it. They had much more. But we got a set of standards put in place that are pretty good. There's very, very few flaws in that document other than, of course, the use of electronic voting at all. That's the remaining big problem. But beyond that, though, it's a pretty good document, and by state law, it has the force of law once it's signed into existence by a triumvirate of Secretary of State, Governor, and Attorney General, and that has happened to the May 2010 copy. So we've been able to find that the Maricopa Elections Office is about half of what we're complaining about is violations of state law, and the other half are violations of the procedures manual, which have the force of state law. So we've got more on them this time than we had last year, two years ago, by a big margin.
Okay, I got a question.
Sure.
How much comparing of the paper are they going to do with the computer readout?
It's 2% unless it comes out very close. The problem is not so much the percentage right now as the fact that they have the ability to rig the paper. They're doing things to make sure that they can still rig the paper to match a fake electronic record.
Okay,
trying to stop them from having that ability.
Let me tell you what we came across last time, and you were instrumental in demonstrating this. When you go to the elections, you'll see this big plastic tote. It's about probably 2-3 cubic feet, you know?
Yeah.
And it has this, you know, hinged in the middle, you know, kind of goes together. Well, it has these steel rods that hinges on. You just push them out and pull it, and you just open them up and switch out the paper.
I know.
Then they seal them with numbered serial number zip ties that they ordered
in packs of 20.
Packs of 20 of them, and I'm supposed to not pay attention to that?
I know. I know.
We'll talk about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time. I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger.
Get away with it. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Jim March in the studio, a computer geek extraordinaire following the electoral process behind the scenes. And we're finding out a lot over the past few years since 2003. He and I have, you know, started to work together on this stuff, exposing what's what. And I pretty much have been going a decade before that. And, you know, a lot of guys will call me and go, Ernie, man, you start doing research and Googling on the internet and my name comes up. Oh, we need to. And did you know? And they, I go, what are you going to tell me? That it's really, 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 really bad. I get it. I have no faith in it. I stopped voting in 02. The biggest reason, because I know how corrupt it is. I mean, it gets to the point that, you know, I don't even care if it was accurate. They manipulate the process and the media and the propaganda and everything to the point to get people begging for stuff that is just ripping it off of someone else in the name of some vote total somewhere. And I'm going, you know, but, we'll go ahead and highlight the process. So Jim March, you know, he's one of the guys out there highlighting the process. So what is one of the, you know, before we went off in the last segment, I want to explain this. As they put the paper ballots in these plastic totes, well, then they seal them, you know. But all you do is on either side of the box, there's this little metal pin that's about, I don't know, 18, 24 inches long. You just push it through, and the whole top just comes off, seals or not. It just folds up in half. You take them out. You put them in. You do it. You demonstrate that in court.
Right.
You showed it. Then they go, oh, and the zip tie little serial number seals. Tell me, each number has how many zip ties, of which you only use 2 or 4, you know, on these things. How many? Well, we get them in lots of 20. Well, what happened to the other 16? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you have a law that says the ballots have to be under web 24-hour surveillance in a certain area. Then all of a sudden you're looking, and they're gone. Well, where'd they go? Well, we went over to Sheriff Ohio's got them in his training thing over there. Oh, is that what the law said? Too late. Afterwards, got to count them anyway. Too late. Sucks to be y'all. I'm going, and I'm supposed to have confidence in this system because why, Jim?
Well, you know, obviously that's a good point. I mean, the way we busted them with this duplicate seals issue in 2008, we actually found one of the 20 packs by accident at the sheriff's office. And I said, what the heck is this? And they admitted to it, but said, well, that's just how we do it. No, that's absolutely outside the bounds of law. Well, they claim now to have figured out that that was illegal between then and now. They claim to be doing something else involving barcodes. Well, my problem with barcodes is, who's generating the barcodes? Do they have the ability to create a duplicate barcode? So we're still going to raise the issue in court and make them prove that they're doing it correctly.
Yeah, the barcode thing. Think about this.
Tell me about it.
How can you read? You look at at least a serial number on a zip tie is, you know, 593468 or whatever.
Bingo.
You know, and you look at a barcode, it's just they go bleep, yep, yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Really? Well, really, it's like electronic voting. You see,
I
you
know.
See, you think voting's going to make you
I
free?
Know.
Are you serious?
Hey, But we're going to get a chance to talk about all that in court, and they're going to have to answer some very serious questions. Hey, you want to know the funniest serious
question? They had to answer them last time, and they said, get bent.
What they said was, we're out of time. We're not out of time now. Okay? Now, look. Wait a minute.
All right, we'll see. We're going to talk about it when they get done.
You want
we'll
funny? Talk about it. Okay, you want to know funny stuff they're going to have to answer in court. This is good, Ernie. Not an hour and a half ago, I was down at the recorder's office just after, you know, you file the papers in court for your lawyer at the Superior Court. And right in the same downstairs area is the recorder's office. So I pop over there and says, hey, you're the recorder's office. You have to record all government documents. There's a document I'm interested in that you should have on record. It's the agreement under which Maricopa Board of Supervisors stop doing elections themselves, because by statute, they're the ones supposed to be doing elections, and they ceded authority in that area over to Maricopa Recorder's office. Please come up with that document whereby that power was ceded from one to the other. Oops, we can't find it. Oops.
Okay, say it's it not, again.
Okay.
Tell me again.
There
is a document that says they have to go from who to who?
By statute, The people in charge of elections are the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
The Board of Supervisors can cede that authority to somebody else under an agreement. And that's what they supposedly did. They ceded the whole process over to the recorder's office. Now in the dim mists of time. For all I know, it was done before even statehood. I don't know. But
yeah, it better be a piece of paper says so.
You betcha, because if there isn't, then everything that's happening in the election process is illegal top to bottom, because it's supposed to be monitored by the Board of Supervisors by statute.
You know what rings in my head, you know, aside from all the 50 gazillions times I was in court, is this 2008 suit that we had all of this overwhelming evidence on videotape as part with the media and the press.
I know.
And the judge went... yeah, doesn't matter. Don't care. We got to certify an
because
election.
Because that was after the election.
So when else are you going to do it? Before the election?
Well,
they did it?
Here's the thing, Ernie. Having looked at the election process in 2006 and 2008, we know exactly what these clowns are up to. So now we can launch the suit before Election Day, and we're damn well going to do it. Well,
okay.
We've done it. Excuse me. It's
so,
filed.
So you
it's
filed
done.
The suit, and you said... don't do this. I mean,
I don't understand. It complains about eight separate things that they're doing illegally. I mean, what? You want me to read you one at random? I got the suit right in front of me.
Now, while you're looking that up, I mean, I went through this in 2006, I'm running for office. They passed by emergency legislation. Janet Napolitano signed it into law. Emergency legislation. They're going to do manual validation, something I've been screaming about for 15 years. Okay. They finally got passed. Karen Johnson introduced it. It was Jan Brewer, Secretary of State. Now Governor fought it every inch of the way. County Recorder's Office, County Elections Department. Every man, they were fighting it tooth
hated
and nail.
It. Yep.
I mean, hated it. So we went after it just, you guys want to play? Let's play. It got passed. Oh, my goodness. Well, they did it in such a way that they thought that, you know, there's this little bitty committee thing here that we're supposed to do. And if we kind of missed a deadline on that, it won't apply to this election. Ever so sorry for it. So what did I knew they were doing that. They even told me, Kevin Tine, the Assistant Secretary of State, he looked me in the face and he goes, Ernie, yeah, we're not going to do it. What are you going to do about it? I'm going, thank you. I went and filed an affidavit of what he told me as evidence for the lawsuit I filed in Arizona Supreme Court saying they're not going to do it. They told me they were scumbag pieces of crap. Here we go. Let's rock. I want a decision. And they just went, damn it. We're going to have to do this. So they actually did it. Then we had the lawsuit in 2008 saying that they didn't enact it. They violated it every which way they could. They did the same thing in 2006, too. This is, I'm at what point do we get that they're not going to have a real election in this country? They're not. They have to go to pen and pencil and paper. They go to pen and paper, I'm all over it. Until then, I'm not giving them jurisdiction over my stuff.
Ernie, I'm not arguing with you. I will say...
All right, give me one of your things that you put in your lawsuit.
Well, here's John Brakey's personal favorite. Okay, and I think it's a pretty wild one, too. Currently, their poll worker manual says, do not allow any member of the public to see the vote totals at the precinct.
Why?
Ah, because they've misread, well, deliberately, obviously, but they've misread the part that says no reporting of early votes until an hour after polls close. They've gone and applied that to the poll workers wrongfully.
Because they got supposed to have poll tapes. That
yeah,
come
exactly.
Out of
but they're saying hide the poll tapes from the observers, whether members of the public or political observers
hey, man,
or anybody.
I remember a lot of play. They used to take those poll tapes and post them on the front
door.
Hey,
they still do in Pinal. They...
No, this is man. It's just another neon example of I'm just no. Oh. You see my point? If you think voting's going to make you free, you have not been paying attention. I've been doing this for 22 years, focused on I want to know the truth. And you know what the truth is? The truth is one-on-one interaction economically between all of us. Do not cede authority to some central command that's going to represent you.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
There will be, there will be, there will be a light. There will be a light.
Well, Jim March and John Brakey's trying to show me the light. There's going to be a light. We're showing you the light. We're gonna fix it this time. This time. This time. And I'm sure there'll be a next time with them. They'll just keep going because that's what they know how to do. They're just going to keep doing it. Well, that's good. I'm glad somebody is so I can make fun of it. I mean, you know, the thing, and I appreciate what you guys do, and you know I do, and I help you every chance I get.
I know that.
And I testify, I go to court, we help, you know, with the getting you the people you need to have standing, to challenge this. You know, what's interesting in this lawsuit, who are the plaintiffs in this thing?
Oh, well, that's an interesting mix. Myself and John are not actual plaintiffs. One of the plaintiffs is John's son, actually. The lead plaintiff is Barry Hess, your old buddy.
Candidate for governor, libertarian?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, now this is an interesting twist we've thrown in. We have ordinary citizens from across the state, not just Maricopa County. We've got people in Pima County and in others saying, actually, Karen Johnson is a plaintiff from Cochise County.
Now, Karen Johnson is a former Republican senator. She was the one that introduced and very influential and got passed the manual validation law in 06.
Right.
And she was a lot of respect. And it's amazing how much on election. I tell you why. She was the campaign chair in the state of Arizona in 96 for Pat Buchanan's campaign. And they knew there was election fraud. And it just chapped her hide. And that's what got her involved in politics and running. So she's always had a soft spot for election fraud here in Arizona. She didn't think she knew. She knew. So behind the scenes, as we're feeding her information, a lot of the guys, they knew that we were the ones that were giving her all the power on this stuff and the information and make sure you ask for it and include and get here and there and so on. But the thing is that it was so overwhelming that no legislators wanted to be against it. So they would do amendments and put stuff in there, and I knew what they were going to do. One little thing, we're a little late on this. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't do it. So that's what we targeted at, and we filed suit. So, yeah, I'm, you know, as recently as 06, I'm filing on this. But I'd stop voting in 02. Don't ever think that I was under any illusion that they were going to do it the way it was, even in the law. I know these people. How do you think you get to be head of the Gestapo? You know, you think that's, you do that by having accurate elections? Is that how that works? And, you know, and now we have, you know, Terry Goddard running for governor that was attorney general now that had a big hand in covering this stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
You have Jan Brewer that's an incumbent governor now that took over after Janet Napolitano left. She was Secretary of State that I ran against in 06. This is amazing. Amazing corruption. Because this is, you know, so now we have, we're going to go, because, I mean, what else are you going to do? You know, you can just sit and rail against it, but it's always better to document it like Jim's doing.
Well, let me add two things to that. First of all, we are making progress in some areas. We have beaten down the idea of pure electronic voting, paperless electronic voting, we've chased that mostly out of the political scene with this tail between its legs, except in a few states. Utah, Georgia, there's a few holdouts. But for the most part, we've taken that idea and kicked its butt back home to mama.
Well, this early mail-in voting crap, that's got its own problems.
Oh, you got that. But I'm talking about the so-called direct recording electronic, the touchscreen machines. Those were the worst idea we ever had in voting.
Sorry, that just happened in South Carolina.
I know. That, like I say, South Carolina is one of the less than half dozen holdout states that are using it to a large degree.
Well, didn't you guys go there?
Other people that we know did. I mean, Black Box didn't, and certainly myself and John Brakey didn't. But there's people we know out there fighting that fight. But now, look, so that's one front that we're actually winning on. We are kicking the DRE's butts and sending them running home to mama. They're in a few holdout states, but that's about it. That's one area we've had impact on. Right now,
DREs is direct recording.
Right. Electronic. In other words, it stores your vote as purely digital. You're entering data into a computer, and then it does whatever it wants with them. I mean, it's the worst idea we ever had in voting. No, it's, sorry, second worst idea. The worst idea is internet voting. That's the craziest.
They started that with the Democratic Party here.
Yeah.
You know, and libertarians have used it. You know, the thing is, if it's an internal party thing, do what the heck you want.
Well,
I don't care.
Right, exactly. Okay, now look, Ernie.
Use tax money, that's another thing.
Ernie, this is something that John Brakey and I disagree on, and he's not going to like me saying this, but I will say it right now. I believe that as the, I'm a libertarian, a real one. I'm a follower of Peter Schiff, of Ron Paul's Austrian economics in general. I know that we're looking at a severe come to Jesus moment with the economy. And when that happens, we're going to sit down and rethink this whole government thing. We're going to rethink things like, how did Wall Street rip us off so bad? Goldman Sachs and all those other pirates.
Because they can.
Yeah. No, but we're going to rethink how it was they can. We're going to have a discussion on how we do this whole government thing. And I want electronic voting or voting reform in general to be part of that discussion of rethinking when we come to that point. Most people in America are not ready to support a total rethinking of the government like we did, 12, 13 years after we started. We changed everything from the Confederation of States to the United States. We totally rethunk how we did government because the first round didn't work. And there was no shooting over it. That's the good news, okay? It was a complete nonviolent revolution. It was useful at the time, okay? But now we're coming up on time to do it again. And when we do it again, electronic voting better be part of the conversation, and it won't be unless we expose how screwed up it is. And we're not going to do that until we get into court and expose how screwed up it is.
And then what? It's screwed up.
And
then what?
And then when it comes time to rethink everything, that will be part of what we rethink. It's simple as that.
Let me go one deeper.
Okay.
There is an entire generation that's starting to come to the realization that, you know, voting away someone's property is not necessarily a good thing.
Well, of course. That's part of what the rethinking is.
You know,
absolutely.
Not everything can come up for a vote. They'll say that they can.
Absolutely.
We'll worry about that in the court. Kelo decision, we'll worry about it in the courts. Oh, yeah. That was the court.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm just
absolutely
going,
right.
I'm going, well, you know, this is, and I think that may have had a lot to do with the Second Amendment decisions coming down from the court, even though they're 5-4, you know, is because what happened to the Kelo, they're going, go ahead, just say it. I don't really own my property. If the government derives more benefit in the form of taxes from it, you can take it. That's your public purpose right there. It's more revenue for the state. It's all about the
right.
State. Well, thank you for playing. Thank you for sharing. We need to know this. Well, I mean, how many times I got to go through? My first, in the early 90s, when I filed against Arizona election laws, was 44 election laws. 44. That I saw that was blatant violations of the Constitution. That was all about the retention, about eliminating competition for its start. I was Republican. I went independent to get the standing to do this. I could see what was happening as a young 20-something-year-old man knew this was not the government they promised me in junior high. And you know what the court did? We went all the way through the levels. I go up in the Ninth Circuit. You know what they said? Yeah? And? Yeah, we find it, you know, but compelling state interest is. That's why I hammered on this compelling state interest thing. I mean, I won on a bunch of points and so on, but and got them to change a lot. I got a lot of Ernie laws, but it was mostly out of fear of what the court was going to say than, you know, what the court actually did. And I'm going, and then when I went back to use precedents of the court action, what happened? It's not published. I asked Judge Buttrick, I go, are you kidding me? It's not there. He goes, yeah, didn't you get the memo? He goes, they only publish what they want. They only publish decisions that they want, or it has an enormous amount of press. Otherwise, you got to go hunt it down or find it. It's not a published decision. I'm going, then what the heck am I doing this for?
Right.
You know, this is, I'm so done. I'm so ripped off the veneer. As a young man, this whole promise, this whole facade of you get the, you know, the three branches and stuff, they're all aligned against the rights of the individual. They've stacked every single one of them. What, there's not a corrupt congressman? You know, I mean, how many? Heck, Ron Paul, he's just the exception to prove the rule. So then you have, what about the presidency? Oh, there's upstanding. You know, the justices, the Supreme Court, oh, man, what happens when they're all bad? What happens? Well, I'll tell you what, you find yourself in a free speech zone, that's what happens. So we're looking at taking advantage of the opportunity here in Arizona. We have gone through it election cycle after election cycle after election cycle with so much proof and circumstantial evidence on top of the proof or underneath it, whatever, a bunch. So now we have the election of 04. We have the elections of 06. We have the lawsuits in 08. We have this one right now. What's your excuse going to be this time? I don't know. We will share it with you. But I guarantee they got one. At what point do you go, next, we're going to do something else. It's so done and over. No, we'll try the 10th Amendment thing. We'll see how that works out. Oh, this battle is much deeper than you think. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're headbanging here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, that's the mood I'm in. Headbanging my head up against the wall. I am so tired of this. You know, I'd much rather educate people on Austrian economics than worrying about how they're going to go vote. You know, I'm you know, it's just like they're going, look how many more sheep we got in our chute. You know, I'm done, man. But I tell you one thing I will do is I'll highlight the efforts of John Brakey and Jim March that have put forth an enormous amount of effort to document every single step of what they're doing and how they're doing it for everybody to see. Neon flashing example. And this has been done, I mean, to great dramatic effect in court. In front of the very people doing it. We're going, hey. We know. See what we know? This is what we know, how you're doing this. Security, right. And then they just come up with another way of doing the same thing again. And sugarcoat it and put something else on it. And the same thing happens even worse. It gets worse. It's like a man, you know, we just had, you know, we'll talk about this week. We'll have Pastor Anderson come on. He was found not guilty. While I was gone, you know, not guilty at the checkpoint. We'll have him on this week. Not guilty. You know, but he had to do it. He had to go through it. You have to get beaten. You show him what happens. Mark Victor, and this is not his first case. There's a bunch of cases like this. Terry Brassey at CheckpointUSA.org. CheckpointUSA. Just Google it in CheckpointUSA since the December of 2002, we have been tracking all this checkpoint stuff, challenging at every step. And Mark Victor, you know what he's been doing? He's just been helping write their policy manual on how to get away with this stuff. Every time they do, they go, gosh darn it, we should have done it this way. Oh, never say that. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, do this first before that, because Mark pulls out everything. And he wins every time. So they go, well, we'll just add a line here. We'll put this page in front of that one. We'll delete this paragraph. You know, they're just getting better at it. Why? Because you're showing them. Now, what's the thought? I mean, what else are you going to do? But, you know, will I highlight this? Damn Skippy. Will I follow it through? Absolutely. Will I help them? You betcha. To what end? What is the end game on this? An accurate paper and pen election to steal my stuff? You know, we're going to have a rethinking. Yeah, that's what Jim's talking about. So I don't know, Jim, where do you think we're going with the rethinking? Then what?
The rethinking will happen when the economy suffers a total meltdown. That's what it's going to take to wake the sheeple. It's that simple.
Well, it's this election process crap that got us to this point to be able to do it anyway.
Right.
You know, if we really, you know, I had faith in it. You know how I knew there was election fraud early on? Because I believed in people more than they did. I thought there is no way they're going to support this, 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 and this. And then they do it. Over and over and over, tax increases, more government projects, big spending programs, people that are just the ooh slimiest, and I'm going, you know, we'd be extinct by now if this is how the will of the people was manifest in any kind of system, be it free market or electoral or anything. I knew it was rigged. I knew it before I even looked. Man, did I get a dose. So now we're going to be going into an economy that this kind of stuff has allowed, has produced this theft, this kleptocracy, this ripping me off, this not leaving me alone, when the whole promise was they were going to leave me alone and make sure everybody else did too. Not, okay, we're going to have to rethink this whole thing. To what, Jim? What are we going to have? What are we going to do? I mean, not that I care, anything but, you know.
When I say rethinking, it's going to be everything related to how we do this whole government thing, and I believe along a more libertarian direction, because this neo-socialist, semi-capitalist ball of crap that we've been doing is finally showing its true colors and falling apart. It's that simple.
Jim and John and the other guys have been working on getting this suit filed. I mean, you guys were calling me when I was in Pennsylvania end of the week trying to make sure you got the right people to do, you know, whatever and filling out blanks and so on. And so I do what I can. I mean, as much as I hammer on it on the air here and get all worked up and, you know, rail against the just walking into the chute one more time, you know, I see the value in actually fighting these guys on their own turf and pointing out just how hypocritical they are, how corrupt they are, how exactly what method they're using to screw us. So I see some value in that. But the thing is that in the end, it's going to come down to us coming to the realization that this whole using a vote to steal or justify taking someone with, you know, all their stuff is like, you know, wait a minute, can we rethink this thing? And because if that's all it takes, well, that's where the bad guys go. They just use the elections as legitimacy for them stealing from you, because that's the goal. It's not your votes, it's your money.
Of course.
It's your stuff. It's control over you. And you're just sanctioning the process by which they're going to do it or use it as an excuse of why they did it. You know, they go, well, how many times you heard this? Well, you had your chance to vote, didn't you? You know, I mean, really, seriously, that's it? That's what you're giving me? That's my option? So I want to see this whole process go through. And what's happening, Jim and John have been focusing on this here of late, that they haven't got the support structure on the web pages and stuff ready for this. So what they're going to do is they'll have, you know, appeals for fundraising. They'll have, you know, people to be able to go in and stand in the court, flood it up and say, hello, we're here, we're watching. You know, we got our 15 gazillion video cameras. You know, when they get that all ready, we'll publish it on Freedom's Phoenix. We'll make sure we promote that. We're pushing the movie Fatally Flawed that documents this. And I tell you, that movie is scary. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, election fraud stuff out there, but this was the first time that I've seen that you had the actual guy that you know as the IT guy in there that has to flip the switches and push the buttons and so on to install it and actually do it. And they had a video deposition of this guy, and he melted down on camera.
Yep.
It was the most embarrassing, uncomfortable thing to watch. And I'm just, wow. And then they gave him a bunch of Prozac or something and put him on the stand.
It was, yeah. That, you know, that's exposing him.
I'm hip to that. So what are you doing now? What are you doing on your computer now?
Actually, I'm preparing a public records request for Maricopa County Board of Supervisors to see if they have this intergovernmental agreement legalizing all elections in Maricopa County. I don't think they've got it myself. I think we're looking for a document so ancient it's literally lost in the midst of time. But got to check both ends to make sure.
So what's the issue? They did what?
Well, Maricopa County is supposed to be the ones running elections, not the recorder's office. That's fundamental. So if it's the recorder's office running elections, how are they legally allowed to do it? Well, supposedly there's a document under which Maricopa County Board of Supervisors essentially deputized the recorder's office, currently Helen Purcell, deputized her to run elections around here. Well, if that document doesn't exist, then every election we've had going back possibly decades, possibly generations, was illegal top to bottom. That's worth the price of admission. Grab the popcorn right there.
And we know what they'll go to court and the judge will say, yeah, so. I think you should pursue it. I'm not saying don't pursue it. You know, it's just that, you know, this is the one thing. I don't want people to get tied up in the certainty of the law, knowing that they're right. They go to judge. We are right. It says right there in black and white, blah, blah, blah. And you go and you challenge it and you get them and they go, yeah. And you're confusing us with someone that cares. I mean, tell me how many times that, heck, has there ever been a time that hasn't happened to you, Jim?
Yeah, so far. But hey, you know, sometimes you win one. Look at the gun guys. Look at Alan Gura, who's won twice before the U.S. Supreme Court. It's not totally hopeless. When Claire Wolf said we're at this uncomfortable stage where it's not yet.
It's probably too late to work within the system.
It's too early to shoot the SOBs.
You know, I'm you know, things are going to happen. It's going to get worse, and people are going to start changing their mind on that one. You know, but it's, you know, I just want to make sure that the people out there, I hate to see people go through years of what you and I both have when there's the result, the end result is so obvious. I have gone through, you have no idea how many hundreds, I bet you it's thousands of hours that my wife and I would sit there and research and show, before the internet. You know, this started in late 80s. You'd go to the law library and you'd shepherdize. You have all these law books everywhere and you'd pay, you know, nickel and dime after dime after dime and making copies, you know, and Xeroxing them there in the library and going and making your case and making sure it's the most current Supreme Court decision. And you get and you are right and you know it. Yep. And they go, yeah, you're confusing us with someone that cares. And I'm going, oh, so it's like that. I tell you, the reason I learned activism was the way to go is because most of the advancement that I got in all my effort was from the media coverage and the speechifying and the visiting and the copying of it and the sharing with everybody else what I had done and what the result was. That was far more effective year after year, accumulating knowledge of the people around here than ever what some black robe justice says, any legislator says. It is what the people know, and they know they're getting screwed. And there is it. We'll be talking about it more this week on just how bad this economic thing is going. New stimulus, new money to the states, more controls. It's going to get a lot worse, and you're going to start seeing it in your prices, even at the gas pump, this weekend. Yeah? How's that economy thing working out for you? Well, we're going to try and survive it here on Declare Your Independence, because that's the only way you're going to be able to survive it, is just knowing.